the Benedict option. When we look around us at the environment in our country and in our world, we find that society is becoming increasingly hostile to the Christian way of life. Most of the beliefs that we hold are, at best, laughed at, and at worst, utterly rejected as an affront to the spirit of the times. The rising cancel culture and the many ways in which the truth is now considered hate speech are making it progressively difficult to live out our faith free from persecution. So we are left with a choice. On the one hand, we can give up and simply adopt the attitudes that the culture is coercing us to have, or we can try to find a way to stand firm in the face of the onslaught against Christian morals and opposition to the gospel. The easy path would be to capitulate in order to avoid the threat of persecution. But as Jesus warns us in Matthew 7:13, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. The other option is to find a way of living out our Catholic faith in a way that remains faithful to Christ and at the same time provides an attractive alternative to the toxic values of the world. We are going to have to choose one of these two options sooner or later, because society is becoming gradually polarised into two camps, Christian and anti-Christian. Let's say we are courageous enough to opt for faithfulness to the Christian way of life. What would that look like? What steps can we take to achieve a way of life that protects our values from erosion or destruction? In his book, The Benedict Option, Rod Dreher proposes a way of doing just that. His main idea, based on an idea of the philosopher Alistair MacIntyre, is that Christians should in some way separate themselves from the rest of society and form communities in which the Christian way of life can thrive. He takes as his model St. Benedict of Nursia, who was born at the end of the 5th century AD. Right at the end of the decline of the great Roman Empire. When he arrived in Rome, Benedict was so shocked and disgusted by the level of corruption and vice in the city that he retired to a cave and lived as a hermit for 3 years. When he emerged, he had a reputation for sanctity and was asked by a monastic community to be their abbot. He went on to found a dozen other monasteries and developed his rule for living in Christian community. As Dreher says, Benedict's example gives us hope today because it reveals what a small cohort of believers who respond creatively to the challenge of their own time and place can accomplish by channeling the grace that flows from their radical openness to God, embodying that grace in a distinct way of life. What's being proposed here is not just strengthening our belief in a set of dogmas, or being faithful in our attendance at the sacraments, or even fighting back using the political means at our disposal. The idea of a Benedict option is much more radical than that. He advocates developing a way of life that is fundamentally different from the way of the world. A way of life is not just spiritual. It encompasses all aspects of life, from our attitudes to work, how we spend our time, how we entertain ourselves, how we express beauty as a reflection of God's beauty, our relationships, the pattern of our meetings and social events. God created each of us as a whole person with many attributes and aspects to our lives, physical, emotional, psychological and spiritual. And it's in that context that he means us to live out the life he has called us to. If we are to survive as Christians, we also need to develop ways in which we can defend that way of life from attack and form a counterculture that can provide an antidote to the world, the flesh, and the devil as they try to suppress or destroy our way of life. So the answer does lie in a more intense religious and spiritual life. But not only in that. There are a couple of ways that we can protect ourselves from the onslaught of anti-Christian society. One is by restricting or eliminating as much as possible the influence of the world through pornography, social media, propaganda of the world through the news, TV programs and movies, and the ever-increasing prevalence of gender confusion and sexual impurity. Another is by developing alternative forms of entertainment and aesthetics through promoting and nurturing wholesome cultural pursuits through good music, literature, art, theatre, poetry, games and sports. These are much healthier options than the passive consumption of media. And they are all ways that Christians have expressed their way of life in past years and enhanced their experience of Christian community. For centuries, the arts and healthy cultural pursuits have been part of the way that Christians shared their talents with one another, demonstrated their way of life, and gave glory to God. It's only comparatively recently that what people think of as Christian has been reduced to the purely spiritual. In past centuries, Christian art, sculpture, painting, music, poetry, theatre and literature were all ways in which Christians communicated their love for God and for each other. They were all, in fact, a concrete expression of the two greatest commandments, to love God and to love our neighbour as ourselves. The fact is that God intends us to express our holistic identity through many different expressions, including the spiritual, the cultural, the physical, the artistic and the intellectual. And when we express these within the context of the Christian community, then we can enrich each other's lives immeasurably and draw each other deeper into the life of God. The way in which our society has developed has made it difficult to maintain relationships on the same basis that we had before. It has now become very common to enter a room and find a group of people all communicating, not with each other, but with someone else that they're texting on their phones. It's been said that the art of conversation is now dead. Well, if it's not dead, it's at least languishing in a hospice somewhere. There is a certain sense in which our human dignity depends on being seen, being recognised as a valuable human being, being taken account of, and being affirmed. That is very difficult to achieve through the restrictive medium of an electronic device. Spending time with each other and giving each other the attention that we deserve is a way of loving our neighbour. Looking someone full in the face and acknowledging their preciousness as a fellow son and daughter of God goes a long way to fostering healthy, brotherly and sisterly relationships among us. There is a certain sense in which producing works of beauty helps us to worship God and to serve each other in ways that strengthen and protect the Christian community in which we live. God wants us to experience the fullness of life. As Jesus says in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Let's pray that the Lord will empower us to create a counterculture in order to protect our way of life, enrich the relationships among us, and help us to worship God in new and exciting ways. Heavenly Father, you have created us as whole human beings, and we long to find fulfillment in body, mind, and spirit in heaven. And yet, here on earth, you give us the opportunity to enjoy the gifts you have endowed us with. Inspire us to find ways of separating ourselves from the toxic influences of the world, the flesh, and the devil, protecting our way of life and giving glory to you through the use of the creative talents you have given us, so that we may, even as we live in this world, experience the abundant life you want us to have. Amen.